Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Glory to God. Praise God. I want to start by saying a big thank you to the good man of this house, none other than the resident pastor, a phenomenal leader, a pastor with a great heart for God's people, erudite scholar, teacher of God's word, Reverend Dr. Edwin Bible. I'm indeed grateful, sir, for the privilege afforded me to be here. I also know that he's got such a wonderful team of pastors and leaders who make things work. And you guys rock. Thank you, sirs. And man, praise God. Well, I'll be sharing with us this morning what you might want to title The Covenant Mystery of Giving. The Covenant Mystery of Giving. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are our Father and you're a good Father. We thank you because the entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. We approach your word humbly and reverently this morning. We trust that by your spirit you will unveil, unfold, and reveal the word of God to our spirits. We know that word will do us good. We mix faith with it and we won't be hearers of the word alone, but we'll be doers of the same. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll read a verse there and we'll take it as our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 8. The Bible says here, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So, it's clear, God wants all grace to abound towards us. You know, we celebrate the grace of God, and God's grace is massive. But the truth is that, that grace also makes a difference in our finances. The Bible says here that God is able to make all grace abound toward us, so that we having always, all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. So God wants us to abound to every good work. And we see clearly from the word of God that giving is a grace that every believer should partake of, participate in, and experience. God is not trying to get from us, he's trying to get to us. And God's word is so clear on this subject that I'll just want us this morning to just go through some scriptures and see what the New Testament, particularly the epistles, say about giving. Now we know that we're believers and thank God for the whole Bible. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So all scripture will do us good. But you see, there's the Old Testament and there's the New Testament. As believers, we are able ministers of the new covenant. So we learn from the old. However, we live in the new. And in the New Testament, in the Gospels, we see there about the life, the birth, the teachings, the prayers, and the ministry of Jesus, his miracles as well. And that is always wonderful to feed on. In the Acts of the Apostles, we see the history of the early church, how the church began in a blaze of glory, how they were faithful to put forth the message of the gospel, the miracles that attended the preaching of that message. But you see, there's something about the epistles. The epistles are the letters written to the church. So they speak to us, particularly in this church age. And that's where I want to stay with. And I just want us to look at 12 principles concerning Christian giving from the epistles, talking about the covenant mystery of giving. First thing I like to say is this. Number one, believers are not able to give to God anything that did not originate from him. Believers are not able to give to God anything that did not originate from him. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans, and we'll look at chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And we'll read a few verses there from verse 33 to 35. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again." See, none of us gave first to God and then we got back. No, God is the one who is the giver of everything we have. So there's nothing we have that we have not received. God is the originator of it all. Psalm 24 verse 1, the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He's the one who gives seed to the sower. He's the one who gives bread to the eater. So everything we have is from God. So our attitude towards giving shouldn't be one of arrogance. It should rather be one of gratitude. It's a privilege to be able to give. And one of worship as well to God. It's an honor that we have to be able to give in any way. Praise God. Because everything we have originates from him. In actual fact, we're just stewards of his resources. And he wants us to be faithful stewards at that. So don't forget, first thing, believers are not able to give anything to God that did not originate from him. So everything is from God. So really, it's a privilege that we are able to give out of what God has given to us. Praise God. Well, the second thing that I like to say is this, that some believers operate in a special grace of giving. Some believers operate in a special grace of giving. We see that in Romans chapter 12, from verse 6 to 8. The Bible says there, "Having then gifts differing, according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Now, this is not a list of ministry gifts per se. These are just some extra graces that some believers walk in. And we see here that the Bible talks about he that giveth. Now, there's a principle there for all of us. When it comes to our giving, we should do it with simplicity. We should do it in sincerity. We should do it from our hearts. And this is a grace that every single believer should walk in. Yes, some believers operate in an extra grace of giving, but every single believer should walk in that grace of giving. Amen. Don't forget, we're looking at the covenant mystery of giving, and we're examining the Word of God, particularly the epistles, to see what God's Word has to say about giving. First, we said that believers are not able to give anything to God that did not originate from him. So anything we are given is because God has given to us. So God is the first giver, the principal giver. And so our attitude towards our giving should be one of gratitude to God and should be one of worship. Then second, I said this, that some believers operate in an extra grace of giving. We ought to all give. Amen. Because we ought to all participate and partake of that grace of giving. Third point I'd like to make is this. If you go to Romans chapter 15, Romans 15, from verse 25 to 27, Romans 15, from verse 25 to 27, it says, "But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It has pleased them well, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things." Now, and this is my third point. Believers have a duty. Somebody say duty. believers have a duty to minister material and financial substance to those who have blessed them spiritually. I'll say that again. Believers have a duty. You notice, I didn't say that. The Bible did in verse 27. Their duty. Believers have a duty to minister of their material and financial substance to those who have blessed them spiritually. For instance, over this house, there's a good man. Incidentally, next Sunday happens to be the pastor's appreciation day. Listen, it's a duty. Every member of this church, if he's ministered to you, if he's blessed you, if he's fed you with God's word, if the pastoral oversight, the pastoral grace that he carries, if it has impacted your life, if this church has helped you to be a better Christian, and you've received spiritual nourishment from this servant of the Lord, it's your duty to minister material substance, financial substance, and be a blessing to him. I didn't say it, the Bible did. Amen. So that's the third principle we see in God's word. Some of these things need little commentary. The Bible speaks for itself. Praise God. You know, when it comes to giving, anytime believers hear the word giving, sometimes we just get a little weary. Oh, they want my money again. No, it's not about trying to get your money. It's about God trying to get stuff to us, because he's able to make all grace abound toward us, so that we, having always all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. So it's your duty to minister material substance, financial substance, to those who have blessed you spiritually, and chief of those is your pastor. You know, Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in every good thing. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in every good thing. Praise God. Well, the fourth point I like to make is this, that ministers have a right to be supported financially by their work in the ministry. Ministers have a right to be supported financially by their work in the ministry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'll read from verse 4 through to 15. The Bible says here, have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas? Or I only am Barnabas. Have we not power to forbear walking? Who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges? Of course, nobody does. Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Nobody should. Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? You shouldn't. Say I these things as a man, or seeth not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen, or seeth he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth shall plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope shall be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar, partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Paul said in verse 15, but I've used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. Now, it's clear here that God's word is categorical about it, that ministers of the gospel have a right. It's a right. It's their right to be supported financially by their work in the ministry. You're not doing your pastor a favor if you give to him. It's his right to be supported. Now, there were some places where Paul waived that right. When he saw that it was going to hinder the spread of the gospel. So, in some places, he waived the right. But he said in another place that he took wages from churches. He did. So Paul was supported by the works that he established. It's the right of a preacher. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, the Bible says that the elders that rule well are worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Amen. For the Bible says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. See, that's clear in God's word. Amen. When it talks about the elders that rule well, it's actually with reference to the pastoral office. And not just the pastoral office, your pastor. You see, I'm a guest speaker. Other guest speakers may come. You know, I come, I minister, I go. The man who's with you, the man who tends to you, the man who visits you when you're in the hospital or sends somebody to, who'll pray for you, who'll be there to do your child's naming, who'll join you when you're getting married, you want to bury your grandfather or your father. It's the pastor that sees to that. And so God's word is clear about this, that your pastor is worthy of double honor. One translation says he's worthy of a double salary. Amen. So it's the right thing. And I'm so thrilled that this church has your pastor's appreciation day just around the corner. And listen, it's just the right thing to do. I've noticed something. Churches that are stingy to their pastor never prosper. I've seen it. Not only is it that they don't prosper, they don't grow spiritually. I've also noticed that any church that is stingy to their pastor, to their leaders, I've noticed that they don't have the move of God. That's something I've observed over the decades. And I've noticed that congregations that are generous to their pastor, God blesses them. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, God said he will honor those who honor him, and those who despise him will be lightly esteemed. One of the ways we honor God is by honoring what God honors. And listen, God has placed a lot of honor on the ministry gifts, particularly the office of the pastor, more so your pastor. Amen. And there's just something about practicing God's word. When you come in line with the word of God and do what God's word says to do, you're not going to be the worse off for it. You're going to be the better off. Amen. So ministers have a right. It's a right. It's a Bible right, because God has ordained, it's God's ordination, that those who preach the gospel should live off the gospel. In the Old Testament, Israel had 12 tribes. There was the tribe of Levi, and they were involved with the temple. You know, the priests came out of that tribe, and the high priest. And when lands were apportioned to the children of Israel in Canaan, no land was given to the Levites. You know, why? Because God said he's their portion. And as the minister of the things of the temple, God was going to see to it that they were going to feed off of that, and they were going to be supported from their work. You see, that's the way God has had it. When the Bible says not to muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, when like you harvest maize, they're in cobs. What's usually done is that oxen walk over the cobs, you know, of the maize. And as they do that, they tread it out from the cob. And so the Bible is saying, don't close their mouths. If you close the mouth of that ox, yes, it's treading out the grain for you, but it's not eating. God is saying, open the mouth. Let the ox eat. Are you listening to me? As it's treading out the grain, let it also feed. Praise God. Those who minister at the altar, they should be partakers of the altar. I didn't say it. God did. Amen. Well, number 5. We're just examining the epistles to see what God's word says about the subject of giving. The 5th is this, that love should motivate the believer's giving. Love should motivate the believer's giving. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, the Bible says, though I give my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profits me nothing. Do you know somebody can give everything he has and even choose to die at the stake as a martyr for the gospel, and yet not be profited in any way? Why? If it's not done out of love. If it's not done out of love. You see, when it comes to giving, there's a tendency for people to get selfish. I know there's a law of sowing and reaping. There is. But you see, don't give just because you want to get. If you give just because you want to get, God is not going to be able to cause you to get as much as you could have gotten. Yes, we ought to mix faith that are given and expect a harvest. It's a Bible principle. We're going to get there in a bit. There's a law of sowing and reaping. But don't just give because we want to get. Give because you want to see somebody else's life changed. Give because you want to see the gospel continue to be advanced. Give because you want to be a blessing to somebody. You know, you can give because you want people to notice you. You can give because you want to be able to control things in church. You can give because, you know, you want a position. Those are wrong motives for giving. Our motivation for giving should be, look, I just want to be a blessing. Even if I don't get anything back, provided somebody gets blessed, provided somebody's life gets changed, provided somebody gets saved, provided God's work continues to go forward and people get saved, I'm satisfied. That's the heart we ought to have about our giving. Amen. Well, number six. Believers should practice consistent and systematic giving. Believers should practice consistent and systematic giving. Why do I say so? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We see verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Notice he said, the first day of the week. So, and then he says, as God has prospered. So your giving should be in proportion to what you have. You know, many times in a church, you don't know who the greatest giver is. You don't. You know, somebody can give 1,000 naira and he gave more than the fellow that gave 500 million. It's in proportion to what you have. Really, it's only God and your own heart. Well, sometimes people too can tell that really know whether a person is generous. And we ought to be generous. The Bible says the liberal soul shall be made fat. You see, the giving hand is always on top. Amen. If we give scripturally in line with God's word, we're not going to be the worse off for it. We're going to be the better off. And we should be systematic about our giving. Not impulsive, systematic and consistent and consistent and consistent and consistent about giving. Amen. So believers should practice consistent and systematic giving. Well, number seven, seventh point. Giving is a grace that can be practiced even in the face of challenging circumstances. I'll say that again. My seventh point. Giving is a grace that can be practiced and should be practiced even in the midst of challenging circumstances. And why do I say that? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I read from verse 1 to 9. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we will receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You see, this church that Paul was referring to, in their poverty, in their lack, they were liberal. You know, it's mighty easy to begin to pull back on your giving and say, fuel subsidy has been removed. and say, well, the value of the naira relative to the dollar has risen. It's mighty easy to start getting stingy towards other people, towards the brethren, towards the church, towards the work of God. But listen, don't do that. Don't do that. You see, the person, Jesus exemplifies and personifies giving for us. Though he was rich, for our own sakes, he became poor so that we might be rich. Now, of course, we know that happened on the cross. Amen. Our poverty was laid on him. Our sin nature was laid on him. Our diseases was laid on him. The curse was laid on him. He showed us a life of sacrifice. And that's exactly what we should also emulate. Amen. So giving is a grace that can and should be practiced even in the face of challenging circumstances. Praise God. Well, my seventh point. Point eight, in the same 2 Corinthians 8, from verse 14 to 16, it says, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that the abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality, as it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Amen. So what's my eighth point? It's this. Every believer, every one of us, should do his part and carry his weight in giving. I'll say that again. Every believer should do his part, every one of us, and carry his weight in giving. You know, sometimes when people hear about giving, people are saying, hey, tell them, so that they will give to us, the poor. No. Even you, the poor, in quote, you should give. Because that's how you come out of poverty. You give your way out of it. Are you listening? Besides, you are not the poor. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. So you are not the poor. Stop seeing yourself as the poor. Yes, at this point in time in your life, you may not have much material resources at your disposal, but it's just a phase. If you will be diligent, walk diligently, apply yourself to something, practice good financial principles, save well, spend well, and all that, and give generously, you can come out of lack. So every one of us, everybody should be involved. It's not when it's given, oh, let them give, let the millionaires give, let the billionaires give. No, all of us should do our part and carry our weight in giving. Well, number nine, the Bible teaches the law of sowing and reaping. The Bible teaches the law of sowing and reaping. That's my ninth point. And let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'll just read from verse 6 through to 8. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, not out of compulsion. Never give out of compulsion. Never give because you feel pressured, or give out of fear, or give out of guilt. No, you shouldn't. It shouldn't be grudgingly. It shouldn't be out of necessity. He says, for God loveth a cheerful giver, a prompt to do it giver, who is glad, excited about his giving. Verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that ye, having always all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. So there's a law of sowing and reaping. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Now, determine how you want to reap. Let that determine how you sow. But make sure it's from your heart. Let your heart be involved in your giving. Amen. Don't give because you're under pressure. Don't give because you're feeling afraid about, what if I don't give? What if the devourer comes after me? Don't give out of guilt. No, give out of faith. Give out of love. Give out of conviction. Amen. And the Bible encourages us to give generously. Now, I'll say this about giving. You know, many believers give, but they don't mix faith with their giving. Do you know reaping a harvest from your giving is not automatic? Now, of course, you give with the right motive, right? And then let's learn to mix faith with our giving. Every time as I give, I say this, I give, so it's given to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men giving in my bosom. The same measure I mete out is measured to me again. I sow bountifully, therefore I reap bountifully. When I tithe, I use words. I speak words. I release my faith. Because you see, faith is the hand that receives. Many people tithe faithfully. Many people give generously, but they don't get much out of the giving because they don't mix any faith with it. Are you listening? Deliberately, on purpose, mix faith with your giving. Speak God's word concerning your finances. Do you know in Philippians 4, Paul alluded to this same principle, this same law of sowing and reaping from verse 14 to 19. When he talked about how, you know, no church communicated with him concerning giving and receiving except the Philippians, he said they sent once and again unto his necessity. He said, not as though I had need, but I desire food that may abound to your account. Then he now said to them, he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The only church that Paul said were partakers of his grace was the Philippian church. Their hearts were knit with Paul. Now, you can't buy grace with giving, no. You know, some people say, I want to contact that grace with my gift. No, really. It's your heart that you use to contact a grace by believing in that grace, by honoring that grace. But you see, if your heart is there, your giving will be there. You can't buy grace. But you see, it's your heart. It's a heart connection. Where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart is. If I want to know what really comes first with you, I need your, all I need to do is to check your statement of account. I'll know where your heart is, where your giving goes. Now, our heart should be towards the things of God first. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it says, and all these things shall be added unto you. Praise God. Amen. So there's a law of sowing and reaping. It's a Bible law. Amen. And God wants us to reap a bountiful harvest. And the only way we're going to reap a bountiful harvest is by sowing a bountiful seed. Well, that was the ninth principle. Number 10. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 14 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 14 to 18. Behold, the third time. So we're talking about the 10th principle now. Behold, the third time, I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. My 10th principle is this. Paul did not seek the people's money. He sought their hearts. Paul did not seek the people's money, he sought their hearts. And that's the same thing with God. See, it's not your money primarily that God is looking for, it's your heart. You know, there are people that do 419 and they come to tithe off the profit. You know, there are prostitutes that give off of the profit of their gain from prostitution. Now, does that please God? It doesn't. With God, our heart comes first. You know, there are people who don't come to church regularly, who just believe that my money has gone for me. My money will speak for me. You know, some people will tell you that if the first fruit be holy, then the lump is also holy. So even if it's dirty money, once I give out of it, once I give first fruit and I tithe out of it, that gift has sanctified the money. No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 23:23. He said, the tithe of mint, anise, and cumin. He said, but the weightier matters of the law, mercy, justice, and faith, they've left. He said, this they ought to have done. And not have left the other also. So yes, we ought to tithe. So yes, we ought to give. But listen, our heart comes first. Walking with God, living right. Amen. It comes before our giving. And when our heart is in the place of fellowship that it should be, then we're going to want to give. Amen. You know, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Praise God. Well, my 11th point. Paul was eager to give to the poor. Paul was eager. Galatians chapter 2. Paul was eager to give to the poor. Galatians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And when James, Cephas is Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, and the same which I also was forward to do. Paul was eager to give to the poor, and so should we. You know, among us as saints, there are those who don't have. There are those who are in need. The Bible says that he who shuts his eyes to the poor, he will also cry and he won't be heard. Amen. Now, when it comes to giving to the poor, don't do a co for show. Don't let it be showmanship. Don't let it be. You know, there are people that we give and you call NTA to come and televise it, and then you show it on Facebook. Yes, I know the Bible says, let your men see your good works and glorify God. I know that. But we shouldn't do it for show off. And then we should let our charity begin at home. Do you have family members who are needy? Take care of them. You see, your wife is also good ground. Give to her. Your husband is also good ground. Give to him. Your children, they are good ground. Take good care of them. Your parents, honor them. Honor your parents. Don't give to God what you should use to take care of your parents. God said by their tradition, they are making the word of God of none effect. So take care of your parents. Praise God. If you honor your father and your mother, it will be well with you and you'll live long on the earth. Your local church, you know, there are people who won't tithe in church. They will say tithing is in the Old Testament. But the tithe of people who tithed bought the chairs that they are sitting on. The tithe of people who are tithing is able to provide the building for them to worship in. Stop that nonsense and stop being stingy. Amen. You see, we know the standard of the New Testament is always higher than the Old Testament. Abraham tithed 10% before the law to Melchizedek. The law came and 10% was demanded. We know the standard of grace is always higher than that of the law. The law says, thou shalt not kill. Grace says, whoso hated his brother is a murderer. The law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Grace says, whoso looketh at the woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. The law says, love your neighbors, but don't seek the good of certain people. Grace says, love your enemies. If they did 10% under the law, we should at least do 10% under grace. So you really haven't given if you haven't done 10%. The 10% belongs to the church. Now, over and above that 10%, don't come and say, well, but I'm tithing. And then beyond the tithe, you're stingy. No, don't do that. Over and above the 10%, be generous. Be eager to give to the poor, particularly poor saints. Poor saints. Now, there are lazy bones. You are not El Shaddai. You are not going to meet everybody's needs, so don't try. Don't feel guilty that you are not able to help everybody. You can't. God is our source. You are just a channel. Don't try to play God in anybody's life. Are you listening to me? Don't try to play God. And don't let anybody put you under pressure God did not put you under. Some will put you on a guilt trip and be accusing you. No, you are not giving to me. And you call yourself a Christian. And you too, you are not giving to anybody. Don't you call yourself a Christian? Hey, but I don't have. Hey, start from what you don't have. Amen. For what you have. And then you give your way out of it. But let's care for the poor among us, not the lazy poor. There's some poor, you know, if you offer them a job to work, an opportunity to earn, they won't, but they rather be begging. Those are not the kind of poor. But there are genuine people who are needy and who are doing their best among us as believers. Let's let our charity begin at home. Yes, after we have taken care of poor believers in your church, or other churches, then you can now think about the poor in the world. Amen. Praise God. And finally, Paul and John encouraged Christian charity among the brethren. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. And in verse 10, the Bible says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. The Bible says, but whoso has this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So as we have need, let's do good to all men, especially believers. Amen. Now, there's some believers, they are not needy, but they are believers. It's okay to give to them. It's okay to appreciate them, just to be good to other members of our family. And I believe that this blesses you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word concerning giving that we have heard today. We mix our faith with your word. We receive it in our hearts, and we will profit with this word. Peradventure, there's anybody under the sound of my voice today who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. Father, I ask that you speak to such a one. Let them know the first gift, the most important gift that there is, the gift of eternal life.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Pastor Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log on to www.hotrenugump3.com. That is www.hotrenugump3.com to download. Truly, the word works.